Mr. Benches. Hello, lovely listeners.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Not Just Tentacles, where I, Rachel, attempt to demystify anime and animation.
And I, Ruth, stay mystified about the anime, but I know my animation.
And we're reviewing the second episode of Has-Been Hotel.
Whoop!
So this one is Radio Killed the Video Star.
That song, right? The singer, he sounds like Kermit to me.
It's true. You can't help but go into a Kermit impression.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52. Yeah.
So Charlie has suffered something of a setback because, as you may recall from last episode, the extermination has been brought forward by 6 months, which...
Oh, shit.
I know, which really buggers things up because they still don't have a proper...
They have an anorak.
They don't have a proper patron of the hotel because Angel is there, but as Vaggie points out...
He ain't no patron.
Exactly. Yeah. He doesn't help. Yeah. He flirts with Husk. He just makes a nuisance of himself and just doesn't do anything.
I mean, that's all right, though, isn't
it? I mean, we've all had roomies like that, haven't we?
Rude. Oh, God, will history say I was your roommate?
Oh, no. Quite possibly, yes.
So, speaking of roommates who may be lovers, or might not be lovers, this is the episode that introduces Vox.
And Valentino, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay, so it's then pointed out that this could in fact be a great opportunity for Charlie and get more people into the hotel. And just
desperate people.
Exactly, where needs must. And it's then attacked by Serpentius.
Serpentius. With his lovely little eggs.
I know, who is wonderfully played by Alex Brightman.
That's Beetlejuice on Broadway.
And also Adam, so yeah, he's doubling up here, but I don't think they ever appear together, so it's fine.
I don't know if they did. But he's also Fizzarelli.
Oh yeah, I mean, isn't there a Fizzbot at some point in the episode? I'm pretty sure Val has one. Yeah. Huh. Anyway, let's get back to doing this in a slightly linear way. So he attacks the hotel. He claims that he does this on a regular basis, or rather, he attacks Alistair, but Alistair claims to have no idea who he is.
Yeah. He just takes out a wall of the hotel.
I know, and I think some of the egg boys die in the course of action.
Squashed rubble. Like, can I ask something?
Yeah.
The egg boys.
Yeah.
I know they call him boss, but are they chicken eggs? Are they, like, hell eggs?
Well,
are they
snake slay eggs, don't they? So
have they... But, I mean, where do they come out of?
I don't know. I'm sure that this and
like,
other
snake
mysteries...
Snake slay eggs, but where do they come out of their bums? Do they have, like, a snaky vagina? What?
Right. Any herpetologists, can you get in touch with us and explain? Because I have no idea and neither does Ruth. So.
Snaky vagina is now a good drag name.
Oh, no. But anyway, he yeets Serpentius across the landscape.
Yeet? What is yeet?
So that means throwing something at high velocity and at great height across somewhere.
You were like, pew!
Yeah. Yeah, very Looney Tunes style. Oh, and before we move on, Nifty has developed something of a kind of bad boy crush on him. So she's very excited. And although, of course, this is Serpentius who is to villainy like, well, Wile E. Coyote is.
I was so surprised to find out that the lass playing Nifty is indeed the lass who played So-So in Orange is the New Black.
Yep, so that's two of Ruth's favourite things coming together.
What, jail and lesbians and cartoons?
Yeah, cartoons and lesbians. Yeah, I guess that sounds fair. I mean, it's two of my favourite things as well.
Yeah. Anyhow, that was
because,
a detour.
Yeah, so Serpentius keeps attacking Alistair because he believes it will bring him to the attention of the three Vs. And this is when we meet them.
None of them is Vivzy.
So they are three of the most powerful overlords in hell. So there is Vox, who is their leader, I guess.
The TV demon.
Yeah, he is a tech bro and he sounds like the biggest douche ever. If you can imagine like him, like Elon Musk with attitude and if he had charisma.
And a nice zoot suit.
Yeah, and a top hat. And you have Valentino, who seems to be in charge of the sex industry. So he is
he has a call this number now voice, doesn't he?
Who, Vox?
Yeah, Vox. He's got like the voice like he should be introducing JML. You know, the sort of like teleshopping.
Yeah, channels. TV announcer type voice.
It cooks, it grills.
But Valentino is this vainglorious pimp moth who has a fantastic wardrobe, bear point out. I absolutely love his coat and his hat and just his general stuff.
How do you know he's a moth? It's just
been explained elsewhere. He's got multiple limbs and...
Oh, you got it off the internet. Okay.
Look, a lot of my information from this show comes from the internet.
Well, I'd like to see it in the text, yeah. Please, Vivian.
And he is Angel's ex, who he has escaped, and he is not happy about this at all. He's just acting every inch the jealous, possessive, obsessive ex, which Vox is not very happy about. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, you have Velvet. So she is the youngest of the three, and she's in charge of social media.
And is she Australian? Is she English? Is
I don't know. Lily Cooper, who,
wow,
as we know...
she's brilliant. She played Julie in Broadway on... Julie in Tootsie on Broadway. Jessica Lange role.
Yeah, so she is a big Broadway star. And she plays her sounding a bit like Stella. So I don't know whether this is kind of like Hell's idea of an aristocratic accent, because it sounds common as muck to us.
Does everybody think Victoria Beckham is an aristocrat?
I don't know. Maybe this is like the only British accent that people can do.
Maybe it's how they think Kate Middleton sounds.
Well, to be fair, I'm not surprised. And if anybody, it reminds me of Stella, it's her, to be honest.
God, yeah.
So I love how we just see through various background scenes and just all of these character establishing moments exactly who they are. Like Valentino, for instance, has loads of posters of himself posing with guns, and Vox says
is Valentino supposed to be like an old school pimp?
Yes, yeah, very much so.
Okay, so sort of like a Latin American Huggy Bear,
only nasty. Yeah,
okay, now I get that.
Yeah, and Vox has turned the... Because, of course, they asked him to give his opinion on what had happened with the exterminations, and he has made it an excuse for him to launch Angelic Security. And somebody asked him, when did he come up with that idea? And it was like 30 seconds ago.
I love the fact he just hypnotises everybody with his left eye.
Yeah. But we find out...
Oh, that is it worth mentioning he has this amazing power... Vox's superpower. He doesn't just hypnotize people. He can also disappear through the CCTV network.
Oh yes, he can materialize and dematerialize. Yeah, that's awesome. Right, I'm feeling slightly disloyal here. You know that Helena is and will always be my true love when it comes to these shows.
Rude.
But I can't help feeling that the villains in Has Been a Better.
Yes. They are.
I don't know whether it's simply because they're overlords rather than
they
just
have better songs.
People's ex-wives or scabby assassins, but they just seem to be, yeah, much more charismatic.
They're like, Mwah!
Yeah, they're real old school Disney villains of the kind that you don't get anymore. And I love that about them. I mean, okay, they're social media tycoons and pimps, which obviously you wouldn't get in a Disney film, but I just love it's a return to old school villainy. And this is when we find out that him and Alistair have this feud, and of course that's what inspired the name of the episode, that they can't stand each other because presumably he replaced Alistair as the face of media. Well, not that you would have seen Alistair's face on the radio, but still. But he still has this kind of jealous hatred and rage because Alistair always manages to best himself somehow. So
radio survives now, doesn't it?
Yeah, so there is a fabulous number by Vox, because I was always a bit lukewarm about him because the fans were obsessed and I just didn't get it because I hadn't seen him in anything.
Over Vox?
Yeah, because I think he only briefly appeared in the pilot at the beginning bit, so he didn't have any lines.
I don't really remember him in
the pilot. It was just, you saw the three V's, but they were just non-speaking roles. It was just when you were doing a brief montage of all the characters that were going to feature later on, and they were there, but obviously didn't say or do anything. something. And yet you get everybody going, oh, I love Valentino, I love Fox. And it's like, they haven't done anything yet. But with this exposure to them, I can totally agree and see that they're full of potential. And I just particularly love him and Velvet too. I mean, obviously I'm still going to be a bit about Valentino because, well, with his relationship with Angel, but he's still...
He is a toxic narcissist.
He still plays him brilliantly though. Yeah, and he is exactly what somebody...
A controlling bomb.
Somebody in that situation would be like. So they need somebody to... Because they need somebody to infiltrate the hotel. And who better than Serpentius after, of course, just having been defeated by Alistair?
With his lovely fabby bits.
Yeah, it does make him look like the...
Dilophosaur.
Yeah, I was about to say the hissy, spitty, poisony dinosaur. But then I realised, oh, it has an actual
name,
doesn't it?
You're a hissy, spitty, poisony dinosaur.
So he comes crawling back and Angel is naturally quite sceptical. I mean, yeah. Vaggy tries to kill him.
She's got a spear on
her. Well, she is the protector of the hotel.
I
which
love her.
I think all of this is pointing towards her having been a former exterminator. But until that is 100% confirmed, it is just idle speculation at this point. But Charlie is a great believer in giving people second chances. I mean, this is, after all, what her hotel is all about. And Angel is clearly suffering from a bit of jealousy and sadness that she's now seeing him as kind of like the poster boy.
He's not an official person to be redeemed.
Yeah, they have basically given up on him while they are all about him. So Pentius now, or rather she is, because Vaggy is dubious about it too. Oh, and yeah, again, Nifty is all like, never leave me again. And them say, we think that she's 80% okay. We're not entirely sure.
I think it was 70.
Yeah, I think it was 80. But either way, he was looking quite uncomfortable. And they just let her run with it because she's very close to Alistair, isn't she? So I guess their reasoning is to not piss her off in case it upsets Alistair. Because she's the only person that he lets anywhere near him. Like, she kind of seems to be in his hair at one point. I mean, what that was about, I don't know.
Well,
but
he has got great hair.
But he, so they do a little exercise where they're trying to get everybody to explain who they are, what they're doing there. So Charlie does it as a little song with clapping.
It's fluff.
I was
it's
about to say, I think it's carpet fluff.
Yeah.
Or pill bugs, as the some of our listeners would call them. But
hey, we have not got pill bugs.
Yeah, we don't have pill bugs. And he's all like, I am Serpentius. I like to build. And without my stupid dip, well, actually, despite my stupid egg boys, I'm rather skilled. And Angel's like, I'm not drunk enough for this, and just going, ugh. Oh, and even better, later on, they also do a terrible play where you've got him pretending to be a crackhead.
Hey, kid, say no to drugs.
And complaining about the dreadful script, which has clearly been written by Charlie, because she's grinning like a kid at Christmas and just really excited to see it happen in front of her. Well, so Pentius is dressed up as a kid with a lollipop and saying, oh no, I don't take drugs. I'm going home to study and not have premarital sex. It is just great. I really do love these moments between the characters. I don't know, do you prefer the numbers or do you prefer the character moments, or do we just like all of it?
We enjoy all of it.
I was about to say that I still can't think of a single moment where I thought,
'cause the songs, I don't know them off the top of my head. They don't sink in like certain things. But the character moments, the jokes, I remember.
Mm. I mean, I'm a big one for the songs. I mean, they're fantastically animated. There's a great spectacle. You've got everybody performing to the utmost. Because they really have got some talented people doing this show. Ooh. But yeah,
Did you just come?
I am not coming over Broadway stars, okay?
Okay. I mean, I don't mind coming over Broadway stars.
Oh, dear.
Carry on.
Anyway, where was I? So yeah, they do this play, which is just, and it just goes to show that I love Charlie. She's a great lass, but she still is clearly very sheltered and has only the most basic and stereotypical ideas about sinners. So you can see why Angel and even occasionally Charlie cringe when she's like this, because she definitely has a very blinkered worldview.
Occasionally Vaggie.
Yeah, I said Vaggy, didn't I?
I thought you said Charlie.
Well, never whichever mind. One I meant Vaggy, okay.
Okay.
So this will undoubtedly be part of her character arc, that she is too overconfident and yet really naive. She's just been sheltered all her life by her privilege. And just because she's Lucifer's daughter doesn't mean that she's got any greater insight to sin or anything, really. But anyway.
Of course not. She's just a trust fund girl.
Yeah, she's a Nepo baby.
Nepo.
I never know whether it's Nepo or Nepo.
Shall we shop at Lidl?
Oh, fuck off. I've heard people say Nepo baby. Okay, tell me, how is it pronounced? Nepo or Nepo?
Nepo. It's short for nepotism, not nepotism. Nepotism. I don't know.
But Angel is undoubtedly relieved to be proved totally correct, because he hears a noise in the middle of the night, goes down to investigate.
Goes down.
And it turns out to be Sir Pentheus, because they've planted a camera in there for...
In the library.
Yes. And he's like, I knew there was something shitty about you, and they fight. And obviously, Vaggy comes in with her spear. Oh, and those two have, Vaggy and Charlie have obviously been interrupted because they're in their pajamas and Charlie's hair is all over the place.
Just because your hair is all over the place doesn't mean you've had sex, as you know.
Well, yeah, my hair is permanently all over the place. But Charlie doesn't normally look like that. And Vaggy and Angel are for once on the same page, and they're all for just killing Sir Pentheus there and then. But then Charlie, because especially since Vox kind of mocks him and says, I can't believe that you let yourself get caught after just a day, well, less than a day. So
he said, you know, if they don't kill you, you kill yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Saying really that he's nasty. A pathetic failure and that he's wasted this.
He's just like, rude.
I still like Fox, though. Yeah. I can't help it. I like bastards. But so she, Charlie and Sir Pentheus share a lovely song about saying sorry. And it is moving. I mean, the other two...
I cry.
The other... Yeah, exactly. Ruth rarely cries over musicals, but she cried over this.
I cry over most musicals if they're good enough.
But anyway, it's a lovely moment where you can see Sir Pentheus finally believing in the project. He's not cynically going along with it to see what he can get. He is warmed by the fact that she'll take him in, even though he betrayed her. And Nifty, she's there at the tail end of it. She goes, I hate that song. And he's not a bad boy and he sucks. And she sort of storms out. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
What else?
Isn't that pretty much it, I think?
Yeah. I feel that lots of bases were covered. I thought it was, after such a high-stakes setup opening episode last episode.
Yeah.
That it would have been hard to just go, oh, yeah, we're going to get the story cracking now.
Well, I think they needed that. I think we needed a kind of a sort of like a...
Less exposition.
Yeah. And it is, we now have everybody there. We now have Sir Pentheus. So we have the entire hotel cast. We've got the three Vs. So they're there. So we have the business with the angels. We have them. So we have pretty much everything set up for the rest of the series. And again, I didn't feel like a single word was wasted. There wasn't any moment where time lagged.
I didn't feel that somebody's ego was being wanked off.
It just was just pure character interactions, fabulous musical numbers. It so far has been of such a high standard. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm really looking forward to seeing more of it. And I'm probably going to keep saying that over and over again, which will be a bit repetitive, but I just can't get over how much I'm liking this.
How good it is.
I know.
The quality. That's the thing. I love Hell of a Boss, but compared to the production values on this, it feels raggedy at times.
Well, it is indie on YouTube. So, I mean, this has got money and so forth behind it. But, ooh!
Yeah, nice one, Vivzy.
Yeah, so, and brilliant work from all of the cast as well. There isn't a single person that I think that delivers a below par performance. So, they are all the best people for this, and I just think it's
the right way.
Yeah.
I
do think this is kind of... Because we recently, there have been real problems with animation on streaming services, particularly adult animation. You're getting all these shows...
What, the buffering?
No, you're getting all these shows, even though they're extremely popular and well-loved, they just keep getting cancelled. I don't know whether it's simply that, I don't know, animation is expensive or time-consuming.
Oh, well, how do you think I feel? Everything that I like that has gay in it gets cancelled.
Well, this is the same thing, because you are getting some people saying that they feel that Has-Been is rushed, but that's because they've got 8 episodes in which to fit all of this in. So 8 episodes of 23 minutes. At the time they were making this, they obviously had no idea that they were going to be commissioned for a second season, which they have been.
Brilliant.
So they were trying to cover as many bases as possible in case it got cancelled, which they were in danger being an adult animation anyway. But considering it is one where absolutely every major cast member apart from Nifty is queer, then they were worried about it, and that has been confirmed. Nifty is the token straight of the gang.
Okay.
So, I can't think of anything else to say. Just
other than, stay tuned for the next one. Stay tuned. Oh, my goodness. Alistair is rubbing up on me.
Do Alistair's voice. Go on.
What? Do you mean talking like this?
Yeah, just say stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
But it has been worth the wait, and... Yeah, that's it. So we will be doing the next episode.
For our next episode.
When will that be? Tomorrow or...
When we feel like it, guys.
Yeah.
Come on, we could have live.
Either way, at some point this month, sooner rather than later, I expect.
Well, obviously, we've got to get it up to the end of episode 4 before episode 5 drops Friday, right?
Yeah, sure. Of course. So...
Let's get cracking.
Yeah.
Egg pun.
Oh, I hope they're not all dead. Anyway.
I love the eggs. Love eggs.
Yeah. Anyway, love you guys and speak to you again soon.
Bye. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And you can also follow us on social media. We are at TentaclesNot on Twitter. And on Facebook, our page is called Not Just Tentacles. Speak to you soon. Bye.